Welcome to Sunday.
Wait a second.
What day is it? The date's
wrong. May. Thursday.
What year?
Wait, what?
Hello, you there, boy.
Me, sir?
Yes, you, my good fella. What day is today?
Today?
From NBC News in Washington, the longest running show in television history. This is Meet the Press with Chuck Todd.
It's time for Chuck Todd. It's Thursday here on 720 WGN, and Chuck joins us, of course, the host of Meet the Press and one of the best journalists in Washington, D.C. Chuck, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, that's a low bar in D.C. these days. I'm aware of that.
All right, let's start right off the bat. Interesting article in The Hill this morning about Mitch McConnell in the Senate being interested in maybe stripping some of the executive powers when it comes to foreign policy. The Senate has always kind of taken a back seat in the last couple decades to the president when it comes to foreign policy, but there seems to be a move because of some news in the last couple of years with this president that they want to take it back. Is this a stunning development to you?
Well, you know, on the one hand, no, because Congress has been bellyaching, Democrats and Republicans, individuals at least, have been bellyaching that collectively the legislative branch had sort of allowed the executive to roll over it, whether it was Bush, whether it was Obama, and now Trump. I think what's happening this time is that you have the confluence of a majority of the Republicans in Congress disagree with the president's foreign policy, and they're of the same party.
Right.
Versus the other previous times, the party was in the same place. Like a majority of Obama's of congressional Democrats, even if they didn't like how Obama was doing it, maybe agreed with his philosophy, so they didn't fight it as much. And I think that's the perfect storm here. And so I think you have some who view this as an opportunity to sort of get the constitutional order back, and then others that are really just disagree with the president.
It's the stunning part to me is Mitch McConnell has been such a loyal soldier to the president, and this is something that obviously the president is not going to like.
One thing you got to remember about McConnell, he doesn't make a move like this unless he is somebody who believes his job is to speak for a majority of his conference.
Got it.
So if he's speaking like this, he's getting pressure.
Yeah. Another story that came out this last night, New York Times talking, and the president obviously gives us news through Twitter, but he believes that his intelligence community is, I think the quote was, naive about the dangers in Iran. And this is, again, a longstanding, a consistency in the Trump White House calling out the intelligence community for just being flat out wrong.
Right. And I think what he doesn't really like is that there was, you know, hours of testimony of his appointees contradicting him on national television.
Right.
That's obviously what set him. I find it interesting that the one specific that he decides to push back on publicly is Iran, which is, you know, to me was sort of the least of the brushback pitches that the intel chiefs threw. Right. I think North Korea and Russia were much more provocative. The fact that he did Iran, I think, tells you a lot about the influence of John Bolton. That's what was amazing to me. Because Donald Trump, if he had his druthers, he didn't want to get involved in any extra foreign conflict. But the saber rattling on Iran, it was just surprising to me that that's the issue he chose to push back on, which tells me it was Bolton.
And we'll talk about John Bolton because he is, of course, Americans are familiar with his face and they know his name because of his time in the Bush administration. But tell us about what his role is and why he has so much influence in the White House.
Well, look, anybody that has worked with him will tell you, even if they don't like him or agree with him, he said, there's nobody that outstudies and outprepares John Bolton. And when you walk into a White House that is like the one that Trump runs, which has no staff work, no preparation, the most prepared person gets the run of a place for a while. And Bolton has had the run of a place on the president. He's played this just right. He knows that the president doesn't like what he wants to do in Syria, so he's backed off a little bit. But he has a one-track mind on Iran. You know, that is one thing people that have worked with him, people tell you, one-track mind in Iran. He believes Iran is a much bigger threat than many of his other previous colleagues and many in the intelligence community. He believes Iran is a larger threat to the entire region in the Middle East, and he He's essentially shaping a foreign policy for the president that is designed to isolate Iran and possibly provoke. And he is more comfortable using the military as part of an aggressive foreign policy, much more so than even people that are classified as hawks when it comes to threatening military force. But he is much more inclined to use it. For instance, look at him in Venezuela.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
He is all prepared to recommend 5,000 troops to Colombia.
And that's why, think about how much a news was made from some chicken scratch on a yellow pad.
Yeah.
Because it was John Bolton, everyone knows that that's something that he is definitely trying to push.
But I will say this. Everybody has an expiration date around Donald Trump. And you're already sensing Trump did not like what Bolton did with Syria when he went to Turkey and essentially backtracked on the president. I do think Bolton's expiration date is starting to get closer when it comes to Trump world.
Chuck Todd's
for better
us.
Or for worse, whatever people think of that.
Chuck Todd's with us. He joins us every Thursday. I talked about all the things that are happening in Washington. One of the things, of course, is, you know, in the Midwest right now, we're going through a huge cold spell, so no one's paying attention to what's happening in Washington. But the government shutdown, the date is looming. I mean, it was only a 3-week stay. Yesterday, it seemed like Democrats and Republicans in the House and Senate are starting to work together, but the president quickly said, if you do not include a wall in any sort of border security package, it's a waste of time. There seemed to be a little bit of pushback from Republicans in Congress. Do you see it that way?
Yes, because there. Look, this is what is unclear. What does the president define as a barrier or a wall, as far as he's concerned? And the reason I ask that question is that that definition will matter a lot. These guys that are on this committee, I got to give Pelosi and McConnell credit. They put people on there to cut a deal. They didn't put people on there to poison the well. You know how sometimes you'll see one person. What's that person doing there? Right? They're there to kill the deal, or they're there to not this case. Right? They clearly want a deal. And you have to talk to Republicans who say ultimately the Democrats have moved. They're willing to do a barrier of some form. They're willing to do some new fencing. You know, so the definition change is there. All of that is there. More money. The question is the president comfortable taking, you know, 60% of what he wants as a win?
Yes.
Or has he talked himself into the read my lips aspect of it, where it's all or nothing?
Yeah.
He may believe, and I've talked to somebody close to him who's trying to convince him he doesn't need this as badly as he thinks, but he has convinced himself that this issue is more powerful to have than to solve.
It sounds to me, too, and I guess I give the president credit, but you know, it seems like he's really influenced by conservative voices in the media, and I don't know if that's true or not, or if that's just coincidental. Do you see it that way? Because it feels like that's how it's reported.
I would say this: whether it's influential or not, I think anybody that the president watches for affirmation and gives him affirmation a majority of the time suddenly has his ear. You know, I mean, look, I've been tempted to do the experiment for 6 months, do nothing but affirm the president and watch what happens. and you know, just like, oh, wow, oh, suddenly I'm being asked who should be the next budget chief. You know, I mean, I'm half kidding, but I'm only half kidding. Like, that is how he works. And so I think that's what it is. It's a two-way street. The people that give him affirmation are the people he wants to listen to. So that's how they end up with this influence. It's not like he's seeking conservative influence. He will take the influence from anybody who says nice things about him. Remember, my colleagues on the morning and cable on MSNBC, you know, one time were very influential with this president. You know, and then he didn't like what they were saying, and then he no longer called them.
Yeah, there's that.
That's
human,
sort of how he works.
Yeah,
it's not ideological
nature.
Per se.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the human nature.
I guess
of,
that's what I'm trying to say. Right.
Right.
It's not about conservatism for him. It's just about affirmation.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's how I get what I want with a lot of people, you know? Like, hey,
true.
That was really great what you did there.
That's
hey, Chuck, yesterday you brought up an interesting question on social media, and I wanted to give you an answer to it. You asked if anyone has ever actually finished a tube of ChapStick before losing it. And you swear you've never witnessed or seen an empty ChapStick tube. Next to my bed, I have a little circle tin of Nivea lip stuff, and I had one for about 3 years, and I finished it.
You finished it?
I finished it last summer, and my stepdaughter was astounded by an empty. She had never seen an empty one
so
as well.
So it exists.
It does exist because it's always in the same spot and never gets moved. But did I?
That's the key, isn't it?
Yes.
Right? Never move it.
Never move it. That's where
never
you got to have
it.
A good system. Yeah. So did you ever find any chapstick?
I know. I ended up buying new chapstick, and now it's like. And you know, and then you end up with the flavored chapstick
right.
because they don't have the. You know.
They don't have the.
And I hate the flavored chapstick.
I know.
Oh.
I have a chapstick right now in my purse that is coconut flavored, and it makes me lick my lips because it's tasty.
Yeah.
And it's like defeats
right, but that's,
the purpose.
No, but that's what it defeats the purpose.
Right.
Yes.
I also have one other question for you.
I think I have strawberry right now.
Strawberry.
But anyway, go ahead.
All right, one more question before.
One more question for you, Chuck. So we have some communal food here at the office, and I have brought in granola bars, and. They're in my desk, and people are—they're allowed to help themselves. However, they've been tearing into the boxes not properly. They don't open them all the way. They just dig a hole into the box and then take out one bar. So I was curious,
like a rat.
Yes,
like
exactly
like a rat.
Exactly.
That's exactly what this one box looks like. So
like
I was
Chicago
curious,
River rat.
When you're opening packaging in your home or at your office, do you try to open the whole thing, or would you be burrowing in?
How organized are you?
No, I am weirdly anal on things like that. Like, I just, like, I don't understand. Especially, you have probably, there's the little perforated line.
Exactly.
Right, that shows you where you open it. And, in fact, it's usually ready to be a display case.
Exactly.
Right?
That's,
sometimes
they messed
you open it up and you pop it up. They're ready to sell individually.
Yeah. Exactly.
They
Jack.
Help you.
That's
they
it.
Give you the outline.
It's
no,
dummy
no, no,
proof.
No, no, no.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one, Chuck. I read a study that if you open up your granola boxes messy, it's a sign that you're a genius. So
okay.
I've read
all
that.
Right, Justin,
all right. Yeah. You know what? And all C students are CEOs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chuck Todd.
Keep telling
yourself Meet the Press. What do we got coming up on? What are you guys going to do on Sunday? I mean, do you even know by Thursday because of the changing nature of D.C. politics?
It's funny. Today is the day we start to get nervous about, all right, what are we going to have? Because it isn't that easy. But I'll have a better idea by the end of the day.
There you go. Must see television as always. Thanks, Chuck.